I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me.
All right, we're back. Top of the hour. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. And I want to remind everybody real quick, we're still on a pledge drive, and I'm still going to bark at you. Okay, we've got some bills that need to be paid. And all of those who have not yet contributed, dig down, send us $20, $50, $100, $1,000, if you can afford to do so, and you'll feel better about it. Remember, we're getting over the hump here. We're going to see the light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully, with all those good Patriot listeners out there. So dig down, send us a check, go to PayPal at republicbroadcasting.org, or send your check or money order to 1015 South May Street, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And with that, I'll go back to my guest, Joe Saladino. This is a short segment, Joe. We got about 4 minutes. Now, do you remember Stuart's question?
Yeah, I did. And part of – there's a number of things. This is not an easy thing to unravel. But if in fact you have a number, a Social Security number, then it's likely that that number actually gives you some kind of a benefit or privilege as far as the federal government is concerned. Okay?
Right.
So if you have that benefit or privilege with that number, you are considered a public office.
Okay, then let me insert this. Since a guy gets his Social Security number, at least when I did, I got mine when I was 16, which was below the contractual age, you know, of a legal contract, is it possible to rescind it?
Yeah, certainly. You can rescind the Social Security number. There's two ways to deal with this. You can either get out of the system completely,
mm-hmm.
which makes it difficult, okay, because you can't have any, you can't have credit cards and you can't have a bank account, but it takes some doing to get it done, and you have to basically pretty much fight your way through life, okay,
mm-hmm.
to try to survive in that type of mode. You go to work for Hewlett Packard or IBM or something like that. You're not going to get a job if you don't give them a Social Security number. Okay?
Right. Right.
Too many people want jobs there, and so you won't be able to work. So you either get out of the system completely, which some people are doing and doing successfully, or you try to work within the system. And then you learn where your remedy is again. Remember? We
right.
talked about
remedy. Right.
So if they're going to compel you to do something, they have to give you remedy. So if you learn how to work your remedies and exercise your remedies, then you're okay.
And that's what we're going to learn from you and your website. Okay, we've got a break coming up here in a minute, but I'm going to go to Carrie and then Stephen next. We'll go to Carrie first, and I'll, if we need to hold him over, we will. Carrie?
Yes, sir.
Here. How you doing?
Great. Last night, I just want to mention real quick, last time when you subbed for John Stattmiller and had Rob Balsamo on, great show.
Thank you.
Very interesting show today as well. And I know you got a break coming up, but so that's what I'm trying to find out. How do you unplug from the system, or where do you find the remedies?
Well, according to Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but he's talking about two different areas. You can either unplug from the system or you can work within it for the remedies. And, you know, in a two-hour radio show, we don't have anywhere near enough time to go through all the remedies, but he does have a website, and I'll let him respond to you.
Okay, great. That's okay. What I'm looking for,
right.
The website.
Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I'd love to come back and do another show here one of these days where we can begin to talk about some more of the details.
You got it. I mean, I'm as interested as a lot of these parties out there because I get so many emails from people. I get a stack of stuff wanting me to handle everything that you can imagine, Joe, and I need people like you to help me out here. Sorry to cut you off. We've got to go to another break. Then we got a long segment so we can talk, okay? Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with us, guys. It's a great show, even if I do say so myself. Republicbroadcasting.org, 12180 shortwave. See you in three.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. And I have my special guest, Joe Saladino. Boy, just an abundance of information here. And I've got Carrie on the line here. Carrie, go ahead and continue.
I'm sorry, was that go ahead and what?
Continue, if you'd like.
Well, yeah, no, I'm trying to find out his website to get a handle on some of these remedies.
Right. Yeah, okay. His website is, let's see, www.freedomcommittee.com.
FreedomCommittee.com?
Right, yeah.
All right, thanks. I'm going to hang up and keep listening.
All right. Anyway, let me announce the phone lines are open, even though there's people on the line. 800-313-9443. Call in if you have a question or comment for my guest, Joe. And let's go to Stephen in Florida. Stephen, you're on with Stephen. You're on with Michael and Joe. Stephen.
Thank you very much for taking my call. My question is about the marriage license. Okay, so in other words, he's saying that if you haven't taken a marriage license, it had to do with the Department of Children, Family, and Children. So in other words, he's saying if parents didn't have a marriage license, they still wouldn't have the authority to come in and take the kids as they do?
That's absolutely correct. If you have a child that's born under common law, the family services or whatever they call it in your state, has no jurisdiction whatsoever.
Okay.
You cannot touch that child.
Well, let me tell you, I'm in the state of Florida, and we have a website called FreeOurKids.com to show what's happening to families in Florida where the children are being abused. I mean, it's something that America needs to look at to see what's going on. And I just want to thank the Lord for this station here, this Republic Broadcasting. I was listening, and I came across this Ralph Winterwood. He comes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. and it would be a wonderful thing if I could hear the 2U dialogue, but he explained to me that there's what they call these agreements between the judicial branch and the executive branch. They're called cooperative agreements, which are supposed to be a separation of powers between these two branches. And when I went to, when I got the documentation and found this out, filed this in court, today I went to court. They're going to terminate my rights after fighting for my kids for 2.5 years over someone else's dog biting one of our kids. The CPA, the CPI, Child Protection Investigator, our Child Protection Investigator, after 4 months, she was arrested for falsifying 26 cases prior to our case, along with our case, where she was falsifying documentation, and she was charged for a third-degree felony 26 times and grand theft, but nothing happened to her. Nothing happened to this woman. I mean, and what happens is the families are in Florida, and so we're trying to figure out how we can defend our families. But I went to this court hearing today where they're going to terminate my rights as a parent. And when I filed that paperwork that I got from this guy, Ralph, which told me how to do it and stuff, I filed it, the judge recused himself, and they had to bring in a non-biased judge because that judge knew by the contractual agreements, and we don't have a marriage license. Me and my wife, the fellowship we go to, the home fellowship, our pastor, we don't believe that the third party is supposed to be the Lord God, Yahweh, and himself, not the government. We don't need permission. That's not a privilege. That's a right. Marriage is a right that's been given to us by God. We don't have that marriage license, but they've got our kids, and they not only have our kids, they're terminating our rights to our kids. And this
let me just make a couple of comments here. We probably don't have time to go into the whole details here. But let me just ask you a couple fundamental questions.
All right.
Okay. Let's roll back America to 1820. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm a plantation owner in the South someplace, and I have a bunch of people that I've purchased. Uh-huh. They are slaves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I have purchased that slave, I own that slave. Does that child that's born on that plantation to that slave, who does it belong to?
It says in the Bible, it says it belongs to the slave owner.
That's right. Belongs to the slave owner.
Right.
So here's how it gets complicated, because maybe you don't have a marriage license, okay?
Right.
But your parents maybe did.
Okay.
So they have a marriage license, and now the state owned you.
Okay.
If the state owns you, with or without a marriage license, it's possible they might argue, well, we have ownership rights, you see, to your children. You follow?
Right.
The problem is that you will never get them to say that in court.
Mm-hmm.
See, they won't get it on the record. So what your paperwork may be doing here is really just putting them in a catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, some people say, well, I filed this into the court and my case got dismissed. Well, okay, maybe you exercised the remedy, but maybe what you did was embarrass the court they know that if they come out and actually say what's going on and why they have the right to do what they want to do, that there would be insurrection in this country overnight.
Right. Well, the case wasn't dismissed. It's just the judge recused himself because he knows he's... I'm sorry?
I understand. In other words, I'm saying is that he recused himself, and you don't have any idea why, probably.
Because he knows now that I understand that there's a contractual agreement, which is supposed to be a separation of powers between the judicial branch and the executive branch.
Now, let me tell you. The judge in the cases, in these cases, work for the executive branch. There is no separation of powers issue because they work for the executive branch.
But they don't work for the judicial branch.
No, they don't.
Right, and there's supposed to be a separation between these two powers. When they contract...
Wait. If you're in a judicial court, then there needs to be separation. But if you're in an administrative executive court, separation of powers is irrelevant. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. But see, the problem is the sheriff department is the one who's bringing the business into the court. Once you see that contractual agreement.
That's executive branch as well.
I'm sorry?
That's executive branch as well.
Okay.
See? It's all executive.
Okay,
let
me insert something here. Stephen, you mentioned that the judge recused himself.
Right.
Okay, so they've appointed another judge, is that correct?
Well, I wanted a non-biased judge, one that was not being paid or in a contractual agreement with the clerk of the court,
mm-hmm.
And with the sheriff's department and with the judicial branch.
Okay, have they provided that?
Yes, they did.
They did. Okay.
Right.
So, but what you've learned,
I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
What you have learned at this point has nothing to do with the court system or the judge. You learned it from Ralph Winterroad.
Right.
Otherwise, they would have waltzed you right through down the path.
Right. They were planning on terminating my rights today. I would have lost my four kids. When we don't smoke, drink, do drugs, we've never abused or abandoned our kids. If you guys get a chance to look at the website freeourkids.com and look what's happening to our families in Florida, they're raping our families. They're taking our kids from us and adopting them out one right after another. I sat in a court case and just watched one family after another destroyed, and there's nothing we can do about it. They're coming in by force and just taking people's kids, and we don't understand. We've done everything we can possibly do to try to appease the state, and it hasn't happened. And
let me sort of react to this just real quick. You're probably dealing in an admiralty court situation. Okay?
Right.
An admiralty court situation, the only way that you can come into the court is to have a lien. You have to have a claim. You know, they many times people say, you know, 12b-6 failed to state a claim upon which relief can be granted.
Right, they have no standing because we haven't done anything.
The assumption of the court is they have all the standing and you have none.
On what grounds?
On the ground of all this secret stuff that's been going on where they've been capturing your children and you and everybody else
right.
as chattel property.
You're talking about these contracts that have been entered into that unknowing, right,
right.
Joe?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, what are we
fraud.
Supposed to
now,
do?
Hang on. We can't solve your problem on this call, okay? But what I can say here is that there are principles of law that you need to understand. Number one, a contract is hard to get out of unless you can prove a couple of things. Breach of contract or fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Fraud vitiates a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to go into that court and you were to deal with the issue of the fraud relative to any unknowns or silent or secret contracts that they are coming forward with, if they're in a military court, they're in an admiralty court, they must have a claim. Well, their claim is understood, silently, judicially noticed, okay, by the court. Everybody knows what's going on but you.
Right. Well, okay? I'm still trying to figure it out. I mean, what is the claim that they would have?
Well, here's the deal. You can either attack this thing by trying to unravel everything and understand everything that they do, or you can state your own claim and have a real claim. So a lot of people have done this through the years. Some have done it successfully, and there's been lots of people who've done certain things to, you know, to establish themselves. People have done UCC documents. Some people have, you know, filed paperwork with the secretary. There's been a number of ways that people have done things.
Uh-huh.
But it was done for the purpose of establishing their position with a claim.
Okay.
Okay? So for example, people have done UCC-1. Well,
right. That's what I was thinking about doing.
If you use a national form and a UCC-1, you don't have a claim. A national form is not a claim. It's only a notice that a claim exists.
Okay.
So if you say, I have a claim, you might get arrested for perjury.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold up that document, it's a national form. Okay? That's not a claim. That is a notice that there's a claim somewhere else, but that's not the claim. See? So if you come into the court and you say, I've got a claim, and I'm claiming that I have this child here, and when I say a claim, I don't mean that you're just, you know, claiming it. I'm saying that you have a legal claim. You've got some paperwork.
Right.
All right, guys,
okay?
Got to take a break here. Got other calls on the line. Stephen, I would, if you would like, you can leave your number with my board op, and, you know, I'll maybe give you a call back
okay,
and see if I can help you out.
Thank okay. you very much.
All right. Very good. We're going to go to a break, then we're going to go to Danny in Tennessee. Stick with us. Michael Herzog, RepublicBroadcasting.org. On the line is my special guest, Joe Saladino. Stick with us. This is great stuff, guys.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. This is a short segment coming up. You know, at Republic Broadcasting, we are about solutions, folks, and we're trying to address a whole myriad of issues here. But I've got a guy on the line, Joe Saladino, today that might be able to provide some. So without further ado, let's go back to Joe, and let's go to Danny in Tennessee. Danny, you're on with Michael and Joe.
Hello, Danny.
Wonderful show, guys.
Thank you.
Got just a solution about marriage contracts.
Ah, yes.
A lot of people say, hey, well, I just go down and I just file out a marriage contract and that's all of it. If it's not filed in your local court, it's not a legal marriage, especially in the state of Tennessee, which does not view common law marriages as valid marriages. So in the state of Tennessee, what you have to do is put together a contract between you and your spouse, go down to your courthouse and have that document, that contract, filed in the miscellaneous books. Then it becomes a legal contractual marriage that the only way out is, again, like you've been saying, you got to show fraud or you got to put in there a way out of that contract.
Let me respond to that a little bit. First of all, you don't have to file it in the court for it to be a contract. All you did was make public a private contract.
Okay.
Okay. When the state says that they don't recognize common law, what they're telling you is we have no jurisdiction over common law marriage.
Okay.
That's what they're telling you. They don't recognize it? Sure, they don't recognize it because they can only deal with what they can have jurisdiction over.
Okay.
So the fact that, in other words, don't feel diminished because they don't recognize your marriage.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I remember years ago as a kid, I remember my parents talking about so-and-so, you know, they're married common law. And they made it sound like they were dirty, you know?
Right.
Made them sound like these people here were, you know, immoral and et cetera, et cetera. Now, they may have been. They may have just been living together, okay? And I don't go for that either, but I think that people ought to stand up in front of witnesses and friends and family, and they ought to take that binding agreement between the two of those parties, and they need to sign an agreement. But it's a private contract. So when the state says that they don't recognize, you know, they haven't said they're illegal, have they?
Well, in the state of Tennessee, was involved in a court case where there was claimed to have been common law marriage, and the court says, nope, you know, we don't recognize common law marriages. And
yeah, that's because there was no documentation, probably.
They had the document, but it was not notarized. And it had not been...
It doesn't have to be notarized. It has to be witnessed.
Well, there were witnesses that signed the document.
Yeah, okay. I don't know exactly what took place in that case, but you have a valid contract there. And the valid contract is witnessed by someone else. They want it notarized because they want to try to incorporate that into the state.
Okay.
The issue is that you're working outside of the state.
So they should have stayed outside of the court system.
Yeah, you're asking...
No, in reality.
You're asking the court to provide you a remedy, okay, over something that they have no jurisdiction over, depending upon how it was raised. If you have a contract, let's just go back to the principles again. If you have a contract, and that contract does not incorporate into that contract the law of the state of Florida, okay?
Right.
Then the law for that contract is the four corners of that contract. That's it. That's the law.
That's the limit.
Now,
hello?
That's the limit of it.
Did we lost him?
Uh-oh. Hang on a second.
Oh, okay. We're still there?
Okay. Sorry about that.
All right.
Accidentally kicked out my headset.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So you have this contract, and it's a valid contract. So when you're going to be dealing in the court, now I'm not sure what was the court case about, a divorce?
Well, it was a trust fund that was being broken up, and they tried to throw in a divorce case with it. And
yeah.
So
okay.
You're
asking the court to weigh in and use laws relative to whether the let's say, for example, you had a trust agreement, and the trust agreement didn't include the marriage, okay?
Right.
Trust agreement maybe incorporated some laws of the United States or something. Who knows?
Right.
So you have a dysfunction there going on because you got one document that incorporates one body of laws, and you have another contract that doesn't. And so you're trying to put a square peg into a round hole.
Yes.
All right. Now let me insert something here, Joe. Let's just take a hypothetical example and say that I decided that I was going to marry Barbara Jean. All right. And I wasn't going to do it in the eyes of the state. I was going to do it in front of God with a bunch of witnesses. And before I went in there, I went into a contractual agreement simply between Barbara Jean and myself that said that, okay, you know, as long as we're married, if there's ever a breach or there's ever, you know, fraud involved, we get a divorce. Or if, you know, we decide at the point of whatever that we decide we don't want to be married anymore, we can break the contract, but we decide to split the assets. That's a contract in the four corners. Would that be recognizable in a court of law under contract law?
Yeah, I mean, you could actually, it gets a little complicated in that you're going to go to the court for a benefit.
Okay, all right, let's take a break. I'm sorry, let me cut you off here because then we'll have a long segment. Going to a break? I'll keep you over, Danny. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, with my special guest, Joe Saladino. Stick with me. It's republicbroadcasting.org. See you in three.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. And I'll tell you, what a show. You know, I feel like a listener in this show because I'm learning a lot today. I've got my special guest, Joe Saladino, on the air, and we're with Danny in Tennessee, I believe, or was it Steven? No, it's Danny in Tennessee. Yeah, go ahead, Danny.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Still listening, and, you know, this is great because I'm learning, too, and it's what it's all about.
Well, you know, as I mention all the time, Republic Broadcasting is about solutions, and I don't claim to be a wizard. You know, I'm not one of these guys that get on the show and knows everything about everything, and I know there are those kind of hosts out there. I'm not one of them, but I try to get people on here that do know the issues that we can all learn from. So, Danny, have you got anything else for Joe?
Well, just wanted to thank him for all of his effort and his work, and... you know, keep up the good work and keep giving us the information we need.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Let's go to Steve in Texas. Steve, you're on with Michael and Joe. Steve.
Hi.
Herzog. Yeah.
I want to thank you and your guests both for fighting the good fight. I know your hearts are in the right place, and I'm sure you wish nobody any ill, but unfortunately, the information Mr. Saladino is giving out is 100% absolutely wrong. Okay. Are you familiar with one of your talk show hosts by the name of Mr. Cryer, Tom Cryer?
Yes.
Okay, have you listened to him?
I've heard him a time or two.
Okay, what he is telling your listeners is absolutely correct. I can restate some of it. The stuff about Admiralty Court on dry land, filing federal 12B6 motions in state court, unless Florida has adopted the federal rules, and maybe it has, capital letters turning people into corporations, filing UCC-1, and somehow gaining some status of whatever kind in court is just, it's dangerous. It deflects from what I guess I can loosely call the movement is trying to accomplish. Yes, there are some serious corruption. There are serious instances of corruption in the court system, in government, everywhere else. That gentleman called from Florida, I do not doubt for a minute that Florida Family Court has done some very disruptive things to families.
I've heard some horrendous stories about that, Steve.
Well, some document that has absolutely nothing to do with the case and make some assertions, maybe about yellow fringe flags or admiralty or something that is so damaging. And please, if I can't convince you to stop.
Okay, wait just a minute here. But
please continue.
Excuse me. Let me stop you just for a minute. That gentleman didn't get that information from Joe Balsino. He got it from Ralph Winterode.
For yourself, whether any of this stuff can be backed out. Mr. Cryer has a little catchphrase he uses, and I'll repeat it.
All right.
Eat that, Elmer, spit it out, and wash your hands. Thank you.
Eat that, Elmer, spit it out, and wash your hands.
I don't know who he means by Elmer, but he says that quite frequently when somebody brings up yellow fringe flags and...
Yeah, we haven't talked about yellow fringe flags on this call. Okay, got something specific that you want to discuss,
okay, Admiralty on dry land. Let's limit our discussion to Admiralty on dry land.
Okay.
Tell me how
Let me ask you a question. If you have a military, court-martial, is that conducted on dry land?
I would assume so. However, I don't know anything about military tribunals. But
that's an admiralty court.
Is it really?
Military court. It's admiralty.
Can you cite me to something? And I'm not a military lawyer.
Okay. There's only three options you got.
Code of
only three options. Hold on. Only three options you have under the Constitution. You got equity. You got law, and you got admiralty. That's it. Military courts are not equity. They're certainly not at-law cases. The only thing they are is admiralty. Those are the only three options you got. When you do a court-martial of a soldier, it's on dry land. So if anybody tells you that you cannot have an admiralty court on dry land, that's ludicrous. You can have a court-martial for something that a military personnel did on dry land.
Court is an admiralty court, and I will call back and apologize. Can you do that?
Wait a minute. Repeat what you just said, Steve. We didn't catch it all. I'm sorry. Steve, repeat what you just said.
If this weren't so sad, it would be funny, but go ahead, Steve. Oh, I'm Steve. Yeah, I'm sorry. Could you point me to the specific part of the Uniform Code of Military Justice that states specifically that an Army court-martial, or whatever they call it, is an admiralty court?
Okay. You only got three options under the Constitution.
I don't want to hear the options, sir.
Want to hear about the Constitution?
I'd love to hear.
The Constitution is what authorizes any court that's on the land, period, anywhere. It's the Constitution. Constitution only has three options, equity, at law, and admiralty. And a military court is not under at law. They're not under that. They're under their own military laws. And it's not equity, because equity is generally used when there is no remedy, when the law does not address an issue. And so that's why the King of England brought up equity type courts, because there was no remedy under common law.
Okay.
So the only option you have is an admiralty court.
Can you tell me what the article of the Constitution specifically mentions equity courts or admiralty courts?
It's Article 3 of the Constitution.
Okay.
Any action. And it brings up those three areas. Those are the three kinds of courts you can have. You can't have any other kind of courts. Not in the 50 states as far as the Constitution is concerned. Now, you can do other things under contract.
How did that tie in with the court-martial? Then I guess that would be your link to the Admiralty Court. How was this family court tying into a court-martial?
Well, I guess that's pretty convoluted. But since the bankruptcy of the United States.
When did the United States file bankruptcy?
1933, Steve.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Traficant got up in Congress and actually exposed the whole thing in Congress.
Well,
for that, he got sent to jail. Okay?
But I wouldn't cite him as a solid source.
Well, you don't have to cite him as a solid source, Steve. It's in the congressional record. I've read it.
It's in the congressional record. Nobody got up after he got sat down and said everything he said is wrong. Nobody did. Okay?
Okay.
So
now,
when he gets up and he's... When he gets up and speaks, he is speaking. Steve,
yeah.
Do you really want a solution, or do you just want to disrupt the call?
Oh, I don't want to disrupt anything. I want to understand why you are telling people that admiralty courts exist on dry land. And
I'll tell you one reason why. The reason why we know is because the normal things that would suffice or would work in a court of law do not work. A case in point. I'll give you a case in point. And we may not have time to go into the details.
All right. Well, listen, we've got other calls here, so we're giving them a lot of time. So go ahead and answer.
I can wrap it up here.
I'm sorry. Well, Steve, go ahead. What'd you say? I'm sorry. Steve? Hello?
Everything you know is wrong.
Steve, the man is citing you.
Information.
Well, that's your opinion, sir.
Give me a thing.
That's take him down. All right.
Okay.
That's Steve's opinion, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. Okay.
And look, some of these opinions that they have on this is because they've tried certain things in the courts, and the courts basically ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the conclusion they come to is that it's wrong. So for example, somebody comes in and says something in a court, and the judge, maybe the judge doesn't know what this is all about, and he's not about to put his career on the line, and so he'll dismiss the case.
Mm-hmm.
The assumption from that is that what I did to that judge, everybody can do in every court of the land, and they'll get the same results.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so that's part of the problem, is that people are trying stuff and they don't know what's happening and so on, and they're making assumptions and so on. But the point here is that, let me give my case in point. In Title IV, Section 72 of the United States Code, it says that all offices attached to the seat of government shall be exercised in the District of Columbia, comma, and not elsewhere, unless otherwise expressly provided by law.
Mm-hmm. I've read
all
that.
Right?
Yes, I've read it.
Okay. So basically Congress says that unless we say that an office of the government can operate in the 50 states, they cannot operate in the 50 states. All right?
Okay.
Now, we've asked 45, 50 U.S. attorneys, several judges, where's the law by which Congress authorized the secretary to operate in the 50 states? Total silence. Nothing. They have no answer to it. Now, if you're in a court of law and you raise that law, and you say, I'm challenging subject matter jurisdiction in this case, and the other side does not come back, which is the responsibility, by the way, of the plaintiff or the person who is asserting jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't prove it, you win.
Okay.
Well, in a court of law, you win.
All right. We're running short of time. We got other calls here. So let's go to some more. You want to, Joe?
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Let's go to Mike from Kentucky. Mike, you're on with Mike and Joe. Mike?
I'm here.
All right, go ahead.
While I'm on hold there, I noticed that I don't know if it was just that last caller or whatever, but it really did cut into what each other was saying when everybody tries to talk at once. And I know I don't know if that's what you're hearing too, but I don't understand. I don't know if the caller realized that or what, but it really chopped
his,
up.
His phone was cutting out.
Yeah.
Because Joe was coming through okay on my end.
Yeah, okay. Well, it was chopping off words, and I think he was on he may have been on a speakerphone or a cell phone or something. But
right.
Anyway, I went to a certain law library because a paralegal had seen this before, and if it did not pertain, why did they have the section of the 1925 of the opinion of the Attorney General that says that it is the prerogative of the Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy as to the number of stars on the flag and the gold fringe around there if it is not a military flag when it has that? And I have noticed that when Condoleezza Rice or Madeleine Halfbright goes out on these, when they go out on these diplomatic junkets, there's flags behind them, and whenever they're meeting with diplomats, that do not have the gold fringe, and in some cases, the flagpoles, they aren't long enough for the Title IV flag, so that in order to keep the corner from hitting the floor, they fold it up. They like to fold the corner over and pin it. One of the first places I noticed this was about 1995 when Madeleine Albright was meeting with somebody in a diplomatic meeting at in the California Republic. And what I thought was weird about it was the California flags had the gold fringe around them with the president's eagle on the top, and the American flag, or the Title IV, whatever the proper term for it is, the not stars and bars, that's what they call the Southern flag, but they have the diplomatic ensign, I guess is what you would call it, had no gold fringe. And I've seen those books and held them in my hand that they replaced, I think, in 1992 with a larger volume Title IV United States Code from West Publishing. And it's like they put it in there because it was relevant. Now, if you read the entire, I guess, opinion of the 1925 opinion of the Attorney General, there's other sections in there. But it seems to me that if that was not pertinent to the flag, seal, and seat of government section, then they would not have never put that footnote in there.
Yeah. The problem with trying to deal with the flag is that the flag, a court moves in and out of different types of courts.
It depends on how it's arraigned.
Yeah, if you bring up a case in law, and then you start citing the statutes, you now start moving into equity. And so I think throughout the process, throughout the course of a trial, I think it's actually possible to move from one to the other, depending upon what the arguments are and what's brought forward, whether or not there's a claim.
Yeah.
To get into admiralty court, you have to have a claim.
Well, I disputed the jurisdiction in a traffic case with a pre-plea private demand for a bill of particulars to the judge and the Commonwealth attorney here in Kentucky, and they would not recognize my motion, and instead they offered a voluntary bill of particulars, which did not state both the nature and the cause. It just gave the statutes, and of course it listed a name on there attached to a Social Security number that was not my name.
Okay,
but,
here's the problem. Here's the problem. Again, like I was saying earlier, that if you have a contract,
yeah,
and you're trying to get remedy,
yeah,
from the Constitution, which is irrelevant, all you're doing is embarrassing. You might win by embarrassing the court.
Well, what happened was when I filed an appeal, because I knew I would, I took a jury trial, and I put the officer on the stand, and I asked him if he was a member of any organizations that required a loyalty oath other than his oath of office, and he said, "Well, I'm a Mason." And the Commonwealth attorney said, "I object. What's the relevancy to this, you know, and all that?" I said, "Well, he's got a conflict of oaths." And, of course, the jury found me guilty, and I wouldn't have even fought it except that he was not where he said he was when he saw me speeding, and my wife was a witness to it. By the way, we filed a miscellaneous declaration of marriage stating that we don't need a state-granted permission for a religious ordinance or whatever.
Okay, guys, excuse me, Mike. I'm going to have to cut in here because we've got very little time left. We're going to have a break. I got one more call.
Long story short, that case disappeared. The case disappeared from the appeals process.
Interesting.
Yep. They took it off the docket.
Hopefully we'll be able to talk more
I'm going to have Joe up again, so call back on a day when he's in here, Mike, and we'll take this up again. But I've got to run right now because I got another caller. Got to go to a break. Got a few minutes left. So let's go to Dan in Texas. Dan, you're on with Mike and Joe. Dan?
Hey, gentlemen.
Wait a second. I'm going to tell you, we're going to go to a break. I'm going to give you about a minute and a half, okay?
No, I won't need that long.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just going to point out for Steve's benefit, the recognized authority on admiralty law is a volume of books called Benedict on Admiralty.
Uh-huh.
He can get it at any local law library.
Okay.
It will explain in detail, for Steve's benefit, how you can have admiralty courts on the land.
Very good. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to break. We'll be back in three with my special guest, Joe Saladino, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. What a show. We'll see you in three, republicbroadcasting.org, and that rhymes.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
All right, we're back. Final segment, American Awakening, with your host, Michael Herzog, and my special guest, Joe Saladino. Joe, I've got a few minutes left. I just got a humorous email from one of my good listeners. Joy in Arizona, I got to read this to you, okay? She's got a question. She says, does this mean we can be processed as a selectee out of the North American Union?
Yeah, don't you wish.
Yeah. But anyway, listen.
Well, just one thing here. Just looking at I just opened up a section here on Admiralty and Maritime Law.
Uh-huh.
This is written by... it's from Westlaw, written by Thomas Schoenbaum. And basically it talks about the Constitution grant of all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction. Okay, defines only the judicial power of the Supreme Court. Later, the Congress came in. It says in the first Judiciary Act, Congress conferred on the district courts of the United States original cognizance of all civil causes of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction, including all seizures where they... the seizures, are made on waters which are navigable from the sea by vessels of 10 cubits or whatever. Then he talks about the Joseph Story's famous influential opinion, and basically in the opinion he declared that the admiralty and maritime jurisdiction of the United States is not limited either by the restraining statutes or the judicial prohibitions of England. Although a contract of maritime insurance would be excluded by the English practice since it was executed on land. So what he's saying there is that the Constitution didn't give a restriction and that Congress doesn't have any authority to restrict it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they can in other courts if they want to. Okay, so the idea is that there's no restriction. So anyway.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's give out your website one more time, Joe. It's www.freedomcommittee.com, okay? And I would recommend all the listeners out there to go in there, peruse around it, see what you come up with, okay? I'm going to have you up again, Joe, if you don't mind. I think this is great stuff. And
well,
we just
absolutely. We never even got to some of the stuff we wanted to talk about.
No,
so.
I know, and that's why I say I'm going to have you up again. I'll give you a call off air, and we'll set something up.
Sounds good.
Yeah, in the meantime, I thank you again, buddy, for coming on. And
okay.
We'll do it in the near future. How's that?
All righty.
All right.
Talk
thanks a
later.
Lot. Have a good day. All right. There goes Joe Saladino. Hopefully, we all got a little bit enlightened as to remedies. We didn't get into too much of it. But some of it I found very fascinating, especially at the point of being able to walk in an airport and go on a plane as a selectee. You know what? I'm going to try that and see what happens. Hope I don't wind up in jail, but I'm going to try it anyway the next time I fly. I find that very fascinating because I have myself decided not to fly. Now, I had to do it last month because I didn't really have any choice, but the last three trips that I've made, I have done it via automobile as opposed to airplane because I didn't want to get tied down into the TSA and, you know, go through all the malarkey that they put a lot of us through. As a matter of fact, even the European tourism is down 25% over this. I read an article the other day, which I'd read to you, but I don't have time to go in it. I want to tell you, let's see, John is, the National Intel Report will be coming up next, and John is still not going to be with us today. He's still suffering from some kind of weird, I don't know what it is, but has something to do with his stomach and, well, whatever, it doesn't matter. Anyway, in his place today is going to be Chris Plethoric, and he writes for the American Free Press. He's going to co-host with another host on the network, Michael Collins Piper, with the National Intel Report today. So stick with us on that. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Another day, another dollar, and I'll see you tomorrow, Friday. Okay? So have a good rest of the day, gang. Bye. A message from